Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast because you love the small business owner that I'm about to feature, I want you to know that we chat with lovable small business owners every week. You can get this podcast sent directly to your phone by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Back of the Yards Coffee Company. Back of the Yards is located in the Back of the Yards neighborhood. So as I mentioned, the IJ Clinic is celebrating its 20th anniversary. And as a part of that anniversary, we're doing a listening tour to learn more about what's going well and what could be going better for small businesses in Chicago. And I just want to take it from the top. If you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Jess Yeniguez, and the business is Back of the Yards Coffee Company.
Could you tell me the story of Back of the Yards Coffee Company from little baby seedling to where it is today?
Sure. So the idea started because in 1999, I was a freshman in college, and that was the first time I walked into a coffee shop. Didn't know those things existed. We didn't have one in our neighborhood. 20 years later, we still didn't have one. And so Myra and I met, and we were having a discussion about doing something different for the neighborhood. And she remembered that, you know, a few years earlier, I had opened up a coffee shop that didn't do so well. She asked me, well, why don't you get back into the coffee industry? And that's kind of when the thought process started. We had a conversation about cold brew. She went home and experimented on cold brew. And then she called me over to taste it, and it was just an amazing cup. We then started to think about, well, if we're going to do coffee, we're going to do a little bit different. We can't just do a coffee shop. We have to do something where it has a social impact, something that the community can embrace and that's going to be welcoming to our neighbors and not be this thing that would invite gentrification. We didn't have any money, so we had to figure out how to raise funds. That's something that we hadn't done before. So we did a couple of things. We talked to friends. We applied for a small business loan through a local nonprofit. We actually had been awarded a city grant through SPIF, but later had to reject it because of the non-support from our local alderman. Then that motivated us to reach out to the community and ask for support. And we did a fundraising campaign online through Indiegogo. And through there, we raised a little over $17,000. But more than the money that we raised, I think that helped us create awareness, helped us build a customer base before we opened. And it was folks who were loyal to us, who were very supportive. Most of our contributors were in the form of $5, $10, $15. So we had a lot of small contributions from folks who may not have the resources that wealthier people would have, but they definitely did have the will to help us in any way they can.
I think failure is a really common part of an entrepreneur's journey, and it sounds like this isn't the first coffee foray that you've had. Can you tell us a little bit about that first one and what happened?
I always tell people I had the privilege to fail. You know, I think many times from people in our community, failure is not necessarily an option. You know, you mess up one time and it's done. So I was very lucky to have this opportunity to pick up where we left off. After 1999 and understanding and really falling in love with coffee and not having a place to go to that was near me, I attempted to open one in 2008. And if you can recall, that was the market and the housing crash. And in fact, the area that we had opened up, there was a boom in building. They were building a bunch of condos. So my thought process back then was, well, you know, those are young millennials near college. It was near UIC. And we thought, you know, this would be a great place for a coffee shop, at least so I can get started, make some money, and then open up in Back of the Yards. That was my thought back then. I think many of those condos are still empty, are still vacant. So that area never boomed. And unfortunately, we didn't do so well. One of the learnings from that experience is that I wrote a horrible business plan, you know, right off the bat. But beyond that, I didn't follow that. So that's one thing that I learned about, you know, that experience, is that if I was going to do something different, we were going to write a good business plan, not only the written part of it, but also the financials. And to be honest with you, that's what has kept us, you know, on a straight and narrow and helped us kind of continue in the path that we're in.
I want to hear more about what it means to you to be a business owner and what you think you might be doing if you weren't working for yourself.
That's a hard one. I think it would be very difficult for me to be working for anybody else at this point. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I think someone who's always had the idea of building something from the bottom. Having had this opportunity with Back of the Arts Coffee has been a godsend. It's been very stressful. You know, there's a joke that says the nice thing about having your own business is that you get to choose which hours of the day to work, the first 12 or the last 12. And then I tell them, it's actually more like both, 24 hours. But it's also a blessing because, you know, we employ people. The space where we're in used to be an eyesore. For many years, it was a bar, a local kind of dive bar that, you know, shut down many years ago. And for many years after that, was abandoned, boarded up, right on 47th Street. And it's just a constant reminder of the disinvestment in your neighborhood, right? So us being able to revitalize not only the space, but the area around us, being able to employ folks from our community, giving them opportunities in the coffee industry that they never knew existed. And then even just seeing what it means to the members of our community. And so these are things that to me are motivating. And obviously we want it to be successful. In order for it to be successful, it has to be profitable. But we always knew that we wanted to have a positive effect on the community. And just to see to the level that it is so far, it's just been very humbling.
This space is so far from an eyesore that I think we should take some time to describe it, if you wouldn't mind telling the listeners what it's like to be here at Back of the Arts.
I guess the best way to describe it is it's something that you would normally find on the north side of Chicago, and it looks like it was planted in Back of the Arts. It's not just the aesthetics of the building, but even the faith that the community has put in us. The space itself, the best way to describe it, someone described it to us as stockyard chic. Our colors, the business is between a cobalt and a navy blue with a light beige and some red highlights. The outside of the building is painted in that blue. The inside walls as well. We have some reddish tile on the floor. Wooden planks around our bar. We wanted to bring this space that was inviting and warm. And so people come in here, study, and just have conversations, meet. It's not something that people typically would think about finding in community like Back of the Arts, but why not?
I was poking around on your Twitter before we met up to do this interview, and I noticed that this coffee shop serves as an anchor for other institutions throughout Chicago to offer programming here in Back of the Arts. Can you tell me a little bit about how you work with, I saw the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, how you work with other groups?
So we partnered up with them last year for Dia de los Muertos. They saw that we're doing Café de Olla and that we work with the neighborhood here to host Dia de los Muertos event. And they were having a concert that day, and they asked us if we could collaborate with them. And so one of their objectives is to leave the concert hall and come into the communities and show what they do. And so we've been able to do that through a concert series that we have here once a month. But we also have open mics that, like, some high school students started organizing from Back of the Arts High School and Richards High School as well. We also host children's reading hour the first Saturday of the month. We do this thing with Chicago Tolteca, counter-narrative, telling stories about the neighborhood. We also work the Peace and Education Coalition. Proceeds from the sales of our coffee bags go into programs that promote peace and education. And so we work with them to help distribute those funds. So we're pretty active in the community. And, you know, when some of those folks have meetings, they often get coffee from us. So it's that relationship that we built with them just from being involved.
And I want to pick at one other thing that you said. You mentioned that you're approved for funding through the city, but then weren't able to access those funds because of a letter of non-support from your alderman. Can you tell me more about that?
So the way the city works is a little weird. The alderman actually does not have a say-so on whether or not we get this award. However, given that it is a construction award, the alderman did have a say-so whether or not we got the permits to use that grant, right? So even though we got the grant, his letter of non-support made it difficult for all the parties involved. You know, the organization, SummerCore, that runs a program, they were dumbfounded. They're like, this is the first time this has ever happened. You know, the reason why we notify the aldermen of the grantees and who's gotten the awards is because they usually want to take credit and they usually want to go and support and do a ribbon cutting and they want to welcome a new business that's doing things right. Because, you know, to get these grants, you have to have all your ducks in order. So usually folks that they get these grants, for the most part, are good businesses that are most likely going to be there for a while. So it's a great opportunity for an alderman to really take advantage and build relationships, right? Unfortunately, this alderman, you know, thought otherwise and wrote us a letter of non-support, did not explain why, just highlighted and bolded and all caps, I do not support this business from getting this grant. And that was it.
Alderman prerogative is a really hot topic right now in the city. And I'm curious, aside from this particular instance, are there other ways that your alderman being a gatekeeper has made it hard for you to maintain this business here in Back of the Yards?
Well, not for us in particular, because, I mean, we've done a due diligence, we've done our homework, and we've done everything to avoid the alderman as much as possible. But even that, the fact that we have to, I mean, go around him as opposed to, like, he's a representative for the city of Chicago. We'd hope that he would be someone that would be open as a resource, someone that we can go to say, hey, we're open up business. Can you help us steer us in the right direction? You know, we'd love for our alderman to be that for their businesses. But I think in that case, he's been an impediment because instead of being a resource, he's gotten in the way.
I think there are folks mumbling all across the city, especially on the southwest side, that people are leaving Chicago. And I'm curious, how important is it to you that this business is located here?
Well, the city of Chicago is a beautiful city. And I think anybody that has lived here or has visited, you know, knows and understand that. And the city of Chicago, I mean, particular neighborhoods in the south and west sides that have been disinvested, you know, do have its challenges. But I think we stay because we believe in this, in the city and the people. You know, there's a certain, I don't even know how to explain it, but like when I leave to other, there's so many beautiful cities all over the world, but you know, there's just something about Chicago. I could see how having so many indicted aldermen and politicians who are entrusted with our money and our goodwill can get people to want to leave. But to be honest with you, like the reason why we're still here and the reason why we decided to open shop is because it's really up to us. You know, the city and its elected officials are our employees. We elect them, we hire them, and we pay them with our taxes. So if they're not doing their job, it's up to us to motivate them to do our job or hire someone new around election time. And so I think it's our responsibility and it's to our best interest that we engage and not be afraid.
Can you tell us a little bit about your interactions with City Hall when you were trying to get your business license?
So, you know, I like to think that both Meyer and I are pretty resourceful and that we can, you know, navigate and find information almost anywhere. And it was still very difficult for us. Like, for example, originally we thought about having a roaster here in the coffee shop, but there was nothing in the health code that talked about the requirements. So we started researching to see if there's anything out there. And we talked to other, you know, coffee roasters and said, you know, be careful what you ask for, because if you ask them, that might alert them, and then they may make up, you know, whoever the health inspector is, you know, may do their own kind of assessment, even though it's not in the ordinances. And so it became, you know, like, what do? We ask, do we don't ask? We just wanted to ask a general question anonymously.
Hypothetically, if I wanted it.
And we couldn't even do that when we called the inspector that would have been in charge of this area. You know, wanted to know what business we were and when we were opening. And we're like, well, no, at the moment, we're just thinking about it. We don't have a space. The other thing is for the construction permits, we had to go to the city and there was two different departments and different floors. And we'd go to one floor and that floor would send us down to the one. The other one, we're like, no, first you have to go back up there. They have to give you this. And it was just a back and forth. And it's just the way it's set up is so confusing. And so to get any information and to get anything done, if you've never done this before, it's very difficult to a point where you almost have to hire someone just to do that, because it takes a certain skill set and patience that not every entrepreneur or business person has.
And if you were to describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago with one word, what would that word be?
Yeah, I would say daunting.
Daunting?
Yeah.
If you were to give the city of Chicago one piece of advice for making it a less daunting place to do business, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, for one, I think, you know, small businesses are the backbone of America, and entrepreneurs are going to revive this economy and help provide a base. We create jobs. We've created jobs out of nothing, right? And so making it easier for small businesses to navigate would be so much better. I think if there was a way that City Hall can centralize its operations to support businesses, that would be huge. I think if they invited small business and entrepreneurs like myself who've been through that, to engage and to give them advice as to how they can function a little bit better, I think the city of Chicago will be much better off.
And where can folks go if they want to try some of your fantastic coffee?
So they can visit our website at www.backoftheyardscoffee.com, or they can visit us in the Back of the Yards community at 2059 West 47th Street, and check out our website to see there's other coffee shops and restaurants that carry our products. And soon we'll be in your local grocery store. So look out for us, and you know, visit us on our social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you know, give us some support.
Before we wrap, is there anything that's important for you to share about doing business in the city or about Back of the Yards Coffee?
Well, one of the things is, you know, more directed at the consumers, you know, support your local small businesses, because those small businesses, you know, the owners are your neighbors. They hire your neighbors, contribute to the economy tenfold than, you know, a corporation that's outside of the city. And so, you know, make sure that they support locally, and don't be afraid of starting your own business, even though, I mean, I've cautioned as how difficult the city can be. If this is something that you're motivated by and it's something that you're passionate about doing, do it. Just do it, and it's going to be difficult. Yeah, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be well worth it.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.